Hello, everybody. Welcome to IntelliCast. This is season five. Season five. Is that right, Brian?
That is, yeah. We're ancient now.
Let's just keep going. Season five, episode four. I can't believe it. It's thank you all for listening. This is our fifth season, and it's amazing. This episode, as always, brought to you by EMI Research Solutions. Joining me today, my friend, good to see him, Jason Enderhees. How you doing, Jason?
Doing fantastic. Season five, we've passed Ozark. am I right there? There's season
yes. four,
right?
They're ending after season two.
We passed the session in Ozark, I think. And Brian Peterson is always joining us today. I'm going to do a little current event. I'm going to go rogue.
Go for it.
We have it on here anyway. How about the Bengals, huh?
Oh, man, we shouldn't do that right at the start. They hold a very, very special place in my heart for absolutely no reason, because they've been just a horror scene for the better part of my life. But man, this weekend, last weekend, this weekend, a lot of weekends this year have been just, I don't know. I couldn't have written it out any better. Been awesome for the city of Cincinnati. And well, if you've ever rooted for the Bengals, it's been really, really good lately.
I'm a Steelers fan, but I'm not a Bengals hater, especially the current Bengals hater. I'm a bit of a Bengals hater in the past when they had less likable players, but I've always rooted for the city of Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, if you're not getting on this ride, man, this is fun. I'm so happy for people like you. I'm so happy for people there are people that have never seen a playoff win in their lifetimes. There are people that don't even know how to celebrate a win in it. this poor city, man. I mean, all of our teams are average if we're lucky. Yeah. And to kind of go on this little ride is so fireworks were going off in my neighborhood. There was a party in the street. There was a giant tailgate by a guy in my neighborhood. I went out afterwards to Bramble Patch, which is a little dive bar in my neighborhood, and it was going crazy over there. And it's just so cool to see this city come alive. It needs it, especially, we're 2 years into this pandemic thing. We haven't had a winning team in anything. And, with the University of Cincinnati had a nice run in college.
Yeah.
And now the Bengals, not only the Bengals having a good run this year, these are good guys. They seem like good kids. They don't know, the scars that you have as a fan, Jason. You have scars, right?
And
these kids come in, they don't know nothing about all the old years. They come in just playing football and winning, and it's so cool to see. So I'll let you give another 2 cents if you want, and then we'll move on.
No, I'm just happy, man. I'm elated. I'd like you said it for the Bengals fans out there, for people that are just jumping on. Come on board. We got plenty of room. We've been garbage for like three decades. So it is. They are fun to watch, though, in all seriousness. Burrow, Chase, Uzoma, Higgins, Boyd, Mixon, all of them. They're that offense is fun to watch. If we could just keep Burrow upright.
That's the biggest fear.
And 9 sacks on that stage is tough to stomach, but they find a way to win, which is it's pretty cool, pretty impressive.
Awesome. The only thing I would say is that this is a different Bengals team, and Brian and I were chatting about this earlier. There was some story from Adam Schefter that the kicker for the Bengals on that last drive was doing his practice kicks on the sidelines, looked over just as they were about to go on, looked over to the I think it was the backup QB and said, "Oh, I guess we're going to the AFC Championship," walked on and kicked it.
A 52 yarder, no less. That's
Other Bengals teams, they're nobody's saying that.
No. If anything, that's when we fold. We get two false starts. We get out of field goal range, and we just kneel the clock out and take the L.
Or it gets blocked and it gets run back.
Yes. Something disastrous.
Well, the stars on the team, if you want to put McPherson there as a star, which I think he is, a rookie. He played at Florida. He's used to winning. He has this confidence. Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase won national titles. Went undefeated. T. Higgins won a national title at Clemson. So, these people come in as winners, and that's, I think, part of the key. You have a lot of, veterans on the team that can kind of help, but then you have the people coming in. They don't know what they don't know.
Right.
And so they're just coming in and playing football and having fun, and that's so much fun to watch, like you said, Jason. They're a fun team to watch. So I hope everybody enjoyed the 5-minute Bengal talk. I don't know if we've ever done a 5-minute Bengal talk before.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Good. It feels good to have the opportunity not to only do it, but for it to actually mean something.
Yeah.
Like, we're not making fun of them. We're actually saying that they're doing some good things.
And now you're playing with house money, I think.
Oh, it's absolutely
house money at this point. And, you know, after we saw this weekend, anything can happen.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Any, literally anything can happen. And so,
I've been saying that, man. We're a year, if not 2 years, ahead of schedule. So I love it.
All right, cool. So let's jump into some news.
Yeah, let's jump into some market research news. First up, ComScore and L2 have partnered on a cookie-free voter profile solution. What do you think about that, since we're heading into midterm season?
You know, it's a lot of cookie stuff going on, which, you know, as we talk about a lot, I never know all of the details of this, but cookie-less sounds compliant to me. And ComScore has been kind of in the news a lot lately in the last couple of years. And so, as we know, this is a midterm election. If you've got cookie-free voter profiles, and it said provides a national data file, this L2 company, with more than 600 different profiling points. Interesting to me. Jason, I don't know if I took all your talking points.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think our minds were working right along the same lines. Anything, you know, with, and I know, Brian, behavioral data points are near and dear to your heart.
Yeah.
So I'm all in on anything like that. It's in all seriousness, you know, this seems to be a great add-on, I think, for national voters research, but really audiences in general. I think we're going to see more and more in this, not just among like voter profiles, but beyond that, right? Where we're using some of those attitudinal and behavioral data, but seems like a great way to target specific audiences. And as you mentioned, perfect timing, given that we're in a midterm election year.
Yeah, awesome.
Next up, Insights Consulting has acquired Gongos, the consumer-centric research specialist. This kind of came out of nowhere for me. I don't know about how you guys feel about that.
Jason, you want to go first for me?
Yeah, I can take a stab at it. I've actually worked both these two specific companies were actually clients that fell in my book of business at one point or another throughout the, you know, 11 years that I've been in you know, business development for EMI. So it really makes perfect sense to me, given the focus that, you know, Insights Consulting has in the community space. I think it ties really well with Gongos, and it gives them kind of a boost in that area. I know we've worked, like I mentioned, we've worked with both of these companies in the past, enjoy working with both of their teams. They just, the people is what I see a lot of common ground. I know that's hard to see when you're reading a news release or a press release, but they've got some fantastic people. And it just seems like, you know, should be a great partnership with very complementary pieces.
Now, I'm always a little sad when you have like a heritage brand that someone's name gets acquired.
Mm-hmm.
And the Gongos brand is, you know, they're not located not too far from here. And so I've always been a big fan of that company. But I'm really glad to have your perspective on it that knows both these companies and can talk about what a complementary fit it is. I don't think I have anything else to add to that other than, you know, former intern Courtney Wellman works at Gongos, and so she's part of this, and big fan of hers. And I hope that she will enjoy the new company and lots of more opportunity there, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Next up is a unique story, I will say, is Washington, D.C. has proposed a new law called Stop Discrimination by Algorithms Act. This is presented by the D.C. Attorney General, who has stated that the bill would protect against algorithmic discrimination and promote transparency about the use of algorithms that limit important life opportunities. Algorithms are tools that use machine learning and personal data to make predictions about individuals.
Yeah, this is a little odd rule. And, you know, credit goes to a previous guest, Howard Feinberg, who was recently on, and encourage you to listen to that episode. I mean, I guess we shouldn't be surprised by all of this stuff about how algorithms could be, you know, discriminatory. So interesting, just that this, we're having this conversation, honestly. I guess it kind of makes sense, though, once you read the article, makes sense. So I think that this could be kind of a landmark bill, maybe, that expands. But it's kind of interesting, to say the least, that we're talking about how an algorithm could be discriminatory.
That's where my mind went too, Lammy. It's the technology behind it is what's like fascinating. Like the topic makes complete sense, right? Anything that we can do to avoid going down those paths makes perfect sense in my mind. But how we go about doing it, that's what's, and the fact that we, like you said, the fact that this is even a topic right now is impressive to say the least. So that was really what stood out to me. Nothing, I have nothing to oppose to it whatsoever. It's more just the technology behind it that's kind of mind-boggling to me.
Right.
For me, I'm just wondering how this is going to impact certain research functions like machine learning and that kind of stuff where it's yep. based on algorithms that are giving insights. Is that going to impact those kind of businesses? Even ads on Google, is that going to impact it?
Yeah, so, you're right. There's because we don't really know. I mean, AI and machine learning have been around, you know, for a while now. But they're not like fully entrenched, I don't think, yet in the research world. And as they do become full, you know, more fully entrenched and really start driving some decisions, that's, I don't know, it almost makes me wonder, like, where do we go from here? Like, what, if it's opening up Pandora's box, what does that look like, you know, in year two, three, four? So, yeah, all fascinating stuff.
And I'm going to throw a curveball at Brian here. Now is a good time to point out that the Insights Association annual conference is not that far away.
No, it's not.
4-6. That's not that far away. That's crazy. It's what, 10 weeks away?
Yep.
April 4th through 6th in Philadelphia. It's in person. I don't know about you all. I'm just going to get out of here and go go see some content. I think, Brian, you had me listed to going to 9 or 10 conferences here. If I go to 4, I'll be happy. But that's certainly one of them I want to go to because of, I mean, we talk about the Insights Association and the value they bring every day. And I expect this will be a big conference.
Yep. Next up, Protégé has rebranded their pod, Protégé On Demand tool, to Peak. I know you're going to attack this from different angles because Peak is P-E-E-Q.
I'm not going to give them a hard time on it because I think it's kind of a cool name. It's unique. And I don't have to ask, what does peak mean? I don't know. It seems like it's a normal word, just spelled a little differently. Maybe I should be giving you a hard time. What I do think is interesting is that, as far as I know, they didn't do a press release or anything. And I like to think they avoided it so that they thought that we might go after them on it.
So the podcast is having that impact where they're not going to do a press release. I love it.
Yeah. That's how powerful we're becoming because we basically have a segment every episode where we make fun of, you know, names and mergers and this, and Peak probably fits a lot of the criteria that we typically use. I mean, Brian, you pointed that out, right?
Yep.
It's spelled with a Q, and there's no U on it. It's, what does it mean? But I kind of get it. So I'm going to give Protégé, you know, it's no surprise that they're big partners of ours. We've worked with them for a long time. A lot of amazing people there. That's not why. I like to think I'm impartial here, but I don't mind it too much, and good for them for kind of rebranding a little bit and doing it under the radar. We caught you, though. We found out about it, and we're going to talk about it anyway.
Oh, man, I'm really disappointed that we're on the same side of the fence here. Sorry. I really expected us to be, because I thought, you know what, Lammy's going to hate this. He's going to explode on one of our, like, best partners, because we do. We have a fantastic working partnership with Protégé and have for a long time, and I can't stay any better than what Lammy just said. Tons and tons of just great people over there, but this is in your wheelhouse, Brian, just to crush. I mean, it had like the word hate written on it in my mind from you, from my perspective. I'm not a huge fan of like, you know, some of the names that we've, you know, I'm coming on the same boat with you, I guess, but I do actually like the name Peak. Gives you kind of a peek because the tool, right? It gives you a peek into their feasibility, into their pricing and their targeting capabilities, all that different stuff. So I also couldn't help with the word peep. And then I started tying it into Easter and went down that rabbit hole. So now I don't, you know, I backed myself out of it.
I went to Peak, like the peak of a mountain.
Yeah.
Like absolutely. I went that way too.
But they have a little icon on there now and it's an owl. So.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, now that I didn't see. I did not see that. Okay. All right.
Yeah, let's crush them now. No, I'm kidding. No, we found out about our friends at Protégé. I guess it was called, was that the name of Protégé On Demand? It's now called Peak. Is that right? Yeah. Okay, yeah, good for them. Good job. Yep.
And our final news story, Cint has announced a new executive leadership team now that the Lucid acquisition is complete. Some of the changes included Rick Pittenger as their new chief technology officer, Bridget Bidlack as their chief product officer, Jake Wolf, chief commercial officer, JD Deitch, the chief integration officer, Andy Ellis as their COO, and Felicia Winberg as their general counsel. I think there was like three positions that were staying the same, which included their CEO and a couple others.
Yeah, the thing I look for when they announce this is how much does the each company have on the board, right, or at C-level. And I was really impressed with how they spread out the positions among both companies. I mean, the names from the on the Lucid side are, I mean, we all know those names. They're smart people. I'm glad to see them have a, like Andy Ellis is, I mean, he's great. He's done a lot of things, great things at Lucid, the being COO. And, you know, a lot of the technology people, I think it's well known Lucid had great technology. So keeping them on board as well. And we all know Jake Wolf, he's a really good guy, and him kind of leading from that side. It seems like a good, oh, and JD, chief integration officer, which I guess is a new role, which yep. is, it's perfect though. So, I mean, good job from our friends over at Cint and Lucid on, this can't be easy. They just announced this not that long ago and they're really moving pretty quickly.
I agree. That was kind of the most interesting piece to me was, what does that split look like too, Lammy? It was, are there going to be, you know, is it 50-50? Is it 20-30? Or, you know, 20-30, 20-80? Is there, you know, what does that split look like from a Lucid and Cint perspective? And to see that it was pretty evenly split. And obviously we knew you could kind of pick and choose, like you see some familiar faces, I guess is what I'm getting at, which is good. I mean, they've both companies had some really strong, you know, intelligent individuals. And yeah, I think it shakes out great. It's still kind of, I don't know, I know we're months removed from that announcement, but it's still kind of mind-boggling to me, like those two companies merging together. It's you know, the leadership piece is one piece. Then you start maybe building out like the technologies and all of that. That's where it gets really interesting beyond just the names that we see on the list. But yeah, very cool.
And one, I don't think it was really specifically part of the press release, but when they had a quote from Patrick Comer, and they mentioned him as founder and CEO of Lucid and chairman elect of Cint. So
oh, I didn't see that. Okay,
and so that's interesting to me, because I was wanted to see, is Patrick mentioned here? Does he have a quote? Is he kind of going away? You always wonder about that. Does he just cash a big check and sit around for a year figuring out what he's doing next? That's what I think we'd kind of envisioned him doing. That's what I would want to do, cash a big check and have some play money and have fun in New Orleans and figure out my next big thing. But I think looks like he's staying on as chairman and elect, and he'll probably, knowing him, he's super innovative and an entrepreneur. He's always probably thinking about what's next.
Yeah.
But you know, for now, at least he's going to be kind of leading Cint. That's awesome.
That kind of breakdown is more of what you would see when it's a merger versus a acquisition type thing, which is what this was. This goes a long way of, as being someone who has been through four different mergers or acquisitions, yeah, into belying the us versus them mentality when you buy a company, into that us mentality, particularly when you see, oh, all right, we got half of the group that got acquired on here that's sticking around in leadership positions. All right, that makes me feel good if I'm on that Lucid side.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. I thought for the second half, we would switch gears a little bit and talk about some 2022 predictions. So we've put out a blog that had a few. Brian and I, you and I worked on that a little bit. And I think we had about 9 and we cut it to 5. But we also had some Green Book predictions that they put out. So with that, do you want to give some just initial thoughts on what you think is going to happen within market research this coming year? Or do you want to address some of the Green Book ones?
I think we can do both, I think, at the same time, because first off, kudos to Green Book. I think they put out a really good idea of how to do the predictions. Mm-hmm. And so big fan of what they did. So they kind of reached out to like influencers in the industry and got kind of what they thought were predictions and then summarized them. And I think the summary is pretty straight on what we have written in the past, probably most of our viewpoints about predictions. There are a couple in here that maybe we can talk more about, but maybe I'll just kind of read through the summary of them, which you put in the rundown, Brian. Thank you for that. Growth and consolidation in the MR industry. Completely agree. That's not going to slow down. We saw, we just had the news article about some of those. And I think that people are going to look for opportunities, right? People are going to, there's going to be mergers and acquisitions. And as we kind of pivot as an industry, the continued growth in AI, res, tech, and automation, that's clearly going to happen. I love the, I don't know if we talked about this one. I think we did, Brian, the talent acquisition in a remote work world. That's certainly a challenge in what's going to obviously happen in our industry. The democratization of research was a little bit different than, I like how they summarized that. The change in consumer behavior and expectations, turning to CX, it's a little bit different. And then reconfiguring the MRX industry. So pretty strong. And this wasn't from Lenny's viewpoint. What they did was they summarized what other people said and kind of coded them, actually, is what they did. And so I thought it was great. And I was like, man, I don't know if I can beat this. I certainly can't get the Rolodex of people to kind of do it. We could have our own predictions blog. And we did, and we always do. And we grade our predictions too, which I think is unique. So good job on that blog as well, Brian. You always grade. And I think you grade us very fairly, somewhat harshly sometimes. But I think overall, it's pretty on point. I don't know, Jason, did you find anything that's kind of stood out to you?
Yeah, I guess some of the ones that really stood out in the growth and consolidation of the industry, of the market research industry, I think it was Stephen Phillips from Zappi I can't remember his exact words, but some claims around inflation in sample costs specifically, and kind of a renewed focus on data quality. And those obviously are pieces that we've been talking about for months, if not the better part of a year. And really just, I can't help but align directly with those thoughts and hope and pray that those kind of, those pieces, specifically the inflation as far as sample costs are concerned, I think it has to happen. We have to start treating these, respondents, see their value and pay them for their value, right? Incentivizing them in the right ways.
We could probably do a whole podcast on that. I'm glad you pointed that out, because I 100% agree. And we should be talking more about that as an industry, even pre-inflationary periods, we should be talking about it. Yeah. And I'm also glad you mentioned his quote, Stephen Phillips, who's the CEO of Zappi. He also said, don't discount a market crash towards the end of the year, bringing an abrupt halt to a lot of the bigger PE deals.
Yeah,
that's coming strong in a predictions blog that he's not putting out on himself, right? He's putting that out to Green Book. He's a CEO of a pretty big company in our industry. I love it. Let's come with some strong block from your perspective. He sees a lot as a CEO of a pretty big company. That wouldn't surprise anybody. I think that stock market's been high, whether you agree if it's artificial or not, and then you throw inflation on top of all this, and it's kind of a weird situation we're in, as not just our industry, as an economy and a global economy. And so I love that. I'm glad you pointed that out, Jason.
What's the other one? The on the talent acquisition, kind of in a remote work world, the Katrina Noel of No Research mentioned the balancing out of methodologies. And I thought, that to me, that just kind of echoes what we've been hearing as of late with, kind of the blending of that qual and quant world that we've always kept separate, which, obviously bleeds back to maybe a blending of methodologies, mixed methodology approach. So I find myself, I tend to agree with her there. It's not, she's not the only one screaming that from the mountaintop. We've heard that from a couple different avenues now. And I couldn't agree more. Go ahead. Sorry.
Can I add to that? That's funny. Yes. You mentioned that one too. I had a meeting with someone from Directions Research and someone from the Living Room here in Cincinnati. We're planning on meeting once a month just to talk about hot topics, and that came up. And one was a qual person, one was a quant person. They both saw it too, and I see it. And I think, with all this merging of qual and quant, in my career, until recently, our clients, when they wanted research, they would say, I want a quant study of this, or I need to do a qual study. Now they're just saying, I'll hear a lot more. I never heard this before. Here's what I need to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And what are the tools in your tool belt that can accomplish it? And they don't think of quant qual. It's like, how do I answer this business question?
Right.
And it's, That's probably a better way to think about research instead of siloing quant world and qual world. It's kind of like they're different tools in our tool belt. And sometimes it's a hybrid qual quant. Sometimes it's qual followed by quant. And what we should be doing as researchers and insights professionals is providing answers to business questions so companies can make business decisions that have less risk. And sometimes that means it's a giant 10,000 equals 10,000 quant study. Sometimes it means you have a few focus groups and you only talk to 50, 75 people. But I love that you pointed that one out too, because I see that trend and it's not going away anytime soon. We see that in our world a lot.
Right.
How many the clients that are asking for follow-up phone interviews, follow-up online something qual and hybrid of some sort is happening a lot. And that causes this could be an entire another podcast, is how does our industry, the sample online sample industry, which is what we're primarily focused in, react to that?
Right. Right. Yeah. That's the demand's challenges. Not going away. It's increasing significantly. So I agree. Yeah.
I interrupted you twice, Jason, and then so keep going.
No, I've got the only, I would be remiss if I didn't mention Lisa Wilding Brown. I feel like I talk about her every single episode that I'm on. So I had to, because she did have a great quote. She talked about, I don't have it word for word in front of me, so I'm going to butcher it probably, but she was talking about how her witnessing like brands internalizing some of the different research initiatives and efforts, and really, you know, kind of adopting different tools that are available in the industry, which is fantastic. And it makes perfect sense. But the piece that I love that she threw in there is, you know, that first message coupled with the need to uphold data quality standards. Like she always ties, you know, we can go on, you know, down a million different avenues, and it always ties back to one really like core theme. And that is that data quality, you know, is at the top of the mountain, and that's what we need to be focused on. So it was refreshing to see her, you know, kind of stick to her guns there. Not that I would have expected anything different. You know, she always kind of circles back to that. But in the end, you know, the more folks that we can get involved in consuming the research results that we're putting out, and the more focus it is on quality standards, I think, you know, the better off our industry is going to be as a whole. So hats off to Lisa again.
Absolutely. Big fan of Lisa. We should probably have her on the podcast soon. Maybe she's too big for us now.
Maybe.
We knew her before. Well, she was still Lisa Wilding Brown before, but now she's CEO, doing a great job there. And a couple other people mentioned data quality also. Mm-hmm. And I think that I think we're going through a shift in marketing research with all this stuff. We need to be shouting from the rooftop, keep quality, you know, and not, you know, take chances and reduce all of the things that we've done in the past to maintain quality. So that's a good point. If you want more, I mean, this is all on Green Book. It's public. You don't have to be a member or anything or pay for it. They did two parts of it. It's on the Green Book blog under trends. They did two blogs. I guess we can link that in the show notes.
Yep.
We could probably do three or four more episodes. We barely scratched the surface of it. And it's, yeah. I mean, how often do you get to read a bunch of CEOs making predictions for the year, and a lot of them coming really strong? You know, a couple of them were like, you know, not taking a big risk and kind of doing a generic prediction, but a lot of them came really strong. And so it's worth the read if you are listening to this podcast, for sure. Anything else we want to talk about?
I just want to add on to that, like talent acquisition and the remote work. Really, it's getting people. We're going to be able to find people now across the world to get to that. I don't think it's limited to geography anymore. So,
yeah. Yep, absolutely. Now, I put a LinkedIn post out. I'm looking for an insights professional, and I would like them to be in Cincinnati, because especially early on, I need them about 4 feet from me. We work hand in hand together for a while. But yeah, it's rethinking that. We work with people we've never met before. I'm sure most people listening to this podcast have worked with people they've never met before over the past couple of years that have been hired and doing an amazing job. And, you know, we used to always talk about how we wanted to put kind of mobile first from a cultural standpoint of the company, because we've had mobile people for a long time at EMI. Since I started, that was almost 10 years ago, we've had remote people. And now it's really escalated that drive to, thinking about, you're always thinking mobile first.
Yeah.
And it's, you're always on Zoom and you're always on our Teams and you're always thinking about, okay, who's remote, what they need before the meeting and things like that. That escalated quickly. It's probably a good thing as we start to leverage talent globally and rethink organizations and things like that. That's another good point, Brian.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. It's just the increase in the sheer size of the talent pool that you get to choose from. Like that, there's nothing. Let's make that as competitive as possible, right?
And it also adds, like, we have so much more flexibility. Like, you see me right now, we're on Zoom and we can see each other. So I know where people are at, but I mean, I could be in Hong Kong right now. I could be in Austin, Texas. I could be anywhere in the world right now and still be doing my job the same way. And that's a beautiful thing that we have the ability to do now. And hopefully that maintains after kind of COVID ends and we don't care where people are. Do you do your job? Are you accessible? Can you attend some meetings a couple hours a day?
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, it's all that matters. Who cares where you're at?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I think we should end the show now. Thanks for listening. Episode 5. If you have any thoughts on the blogs, on the predictions, on the news, on the name of Peak, on the Bengals, let us know. And if you want to be a guest on the show, we'd love to have you. And thanks, everybody. Thanks, Jason, for joining. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it, guys.
Bye, everybody.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.